Your life is precious. This is it. You've got one shot at this. But is there a sense on the inside that you're capable of so much more? If so, the Missing Secret podcast is for you. The book Think and Grow Rich has been read by over 150 million people. It's the top book in the world on success by a factor of 10. In the book, it says there's a secret for success, but the author only gives us half the secret.
When I turned 50, I figured out the full secret, the missing secret, and developed a 12-minute-a-day technique to apply it. And it caused my income to go up by 25 times over the $200,000 to $300,000 a year I was making in the prior 20 years. I felt so blessed.
When John taught me the missing secret, it changed my life, doubling my income and dramatically impacting my health, relationships, and quality of life.
Today, most people are just winging life. They don't have anything pulling them forward to their desired life.
Leverage yourself through science. It takes 12 minutes a day. Watch what happens.
Welcome to the Missing Secret Podcast. I'm Kelly Hatfield.
Hey, and I'm John Mitchell. So today our topic is, no one is going to save you. And this is a famous Mel Robbins quote that Kelly actually mentioned last time, but it's really pertinent. And Kelly, would you describe what you think Mel Robbins means by nobody is going to save you?
Yeah, I think in today's society, especially, you know, that everybody's looking for the magic pill, for the quick fix, for the, you know, and she really talks a lot about personal responsibility, personal accountability. We've talked a lot about this in prior episodes about being the victim. And, you know, so it really is in response to that. Like, if you want to make change in your life, you can't wait around and wait for that to happen or wait for the solution to find you. You've got to take control, you know, of your circumstances, you know, and make it happen. Nobody's coming to do that for you. And so I think that's really kind of the spirit of where that comes from with the material that she teaches.
Yeah, I think so too. And you know, it's interesting. I look back when I was 50, it really hit me that, boy, I have to figure out my life. Nobody is going to come save me. And I think largely I was thinking, this thing's all going to work out in my 40s. I really thought, this thing's going to work out. I'm doing my best, or what I thought was my best, which was nowhere close to my best, but I was doing my best. I thought the universe is going to just work out, that it's all going to work out for me. I'm going to find the woman of my dreams. I'm going to make a lot of money and not have to work. And when I hit 50, I'm like, nope, I don't think that is the right attitude. I'm like, John, you need to friggin' man up. Nobody's going to save you. You have to figure out your life. Nobody's going to figure it out for you. You have to figure out your life. Exactly what do you want? And then exactly how are you going to get it? And then, of course, from reading Think and Grow Rich, I realize that's the secret to success is create immense clarity about what you want, how you're going to get it, and how you're going to achieve your goals, and then feed it to yourself every day. That's the secret in a nutshell. And I realized at 50 that I was getting exactly what I deserved. Like, I'd made 200 grand for 20 years. Well, I was getting exactly what I deserved. I wasn't getting more. I was not getting less. I didn't think that was enough. And I think at some level, I probably felt like I was a victim. And then I realized, no, I'm not a victim. I'm getting exactly what I deserve. And if I want to make $1 million a year, hey, I got to up my skill sets. Mm-hmm. And I also saw that at 50, I'd never been married. And I saw that I was getting sort of what I deserved, because I don't know if this is a good thing to admit or not, but I think to some degree, women were my hobby. I mean, I don't know that I'm really proud of that, but I mean, as you can imagine, if you're 50 years old and you're never married, and of course I was looking for the right one, but that was so hard to find the right one. And I was doing things to, I realized it's a volume game. But like when I turned 50, I'm like, well, come on, it's time to really meet my life partner. And obviously what I'm doing to this point isn't working. It's been a lot of fun, but it's not working for finding the right one. And when I turned 50, I'm like, okay, now we're going to date to get married. I'm going to play the numbers game. I'm going to meet like three or four women a month. And I get it. One in 10 is someone I'm going to want to take out on a date. So 9 out of 10, it's at some level going to be a waste of time. But I was like, I'm just going to consider this an adventure. It, beyond meeting a new person, well, you know, let's do this. But you know, let's also up how I'm doing it instead of just sort of naively going, well, I'm just going to meet a lot of women. And of course, I was mostly attracted to the ones that were good looking, as shallow as that is. But that's how we, you know, men and women work that way. And so I got to the point where I'm like, okay, what are the qualities I really want? Let me figure out the 15 qualities I want and exactly how I'm going to play in the numbers. And I'm not going to roll into these 3 or 4 month relationships that, you know, can happen. I'm like, I'm finding my wife. And if they don't qualify on the first meeting, I wouldn't really date them. We'd have a meeting, you know, a coffee or whatever. Then I'm not going to call them up for a date. And that was very powerful because then within 2 years, I met Ginge. And so, but I was getting exactly what I deserved because I wasn't thinking deeply about what I needed to do to improve my outcomes in my career, nor in my romantic relationship. And then once I got clear about that and realized nobody's going to save me, it's going to take my efforts, my intelligent efforts, then that's when my life will change. And so I'm curious on your end, when did you really get this idea that nobody's going to save you?
I think for me, I don't know. It's a different circumstance for me because, you know, you have to remember I moved out of the house when I was 17.
Right.
On my own. So right. Like, I got, you know, from the way that my household was, I learned pretty early that, like, you need to go out and make your way. And, you know, this is kind of up to you. And so I think I had that foundationally just, you know, based on my upbringing, you know, but I think when I reflect back on it now and liken it to what we're currently talking about, I would say that I was in the recruiting business as an employee, and I'd been there for, you know, almost 14 years when I started Ingenuity Advantage 16 years ago. But a couple of things kept, like a year or two prior to that, you know, I was dissatisfied. You know, I was unfulfilled. I was frustrated that my ideas weren't being implemented and that I could, you know, there are ways I could make an impact and I wasn't being allowed to do that, you know, and it was, you know, kind of this constant dialogue. And it was a mentor pointing it out to me, like, well, do something about it. You can't continue to do the same thing over and over and expect a different outcome.
Right.
Like, and so it was that kind of thing, like, nobody's going to fix this for you but you. So if you're unhappy with something, then you have to find the solution for it, you know, and the way you're currently doing it right now isn't solving the problem. And also, John, while you were talking, I reflected back on prior conversations we've had about, you know, becoming older, you know, and wiser.
Right.
And I think that part of, you know, we've had frustration in the past, like, why don't people get this? And I think one of the points that's connected to this is, I think you have to experience enough, I don't know, is pain the right word, or enough of dissatisfaction
or failure,
or enough failure or whatever to to take accountability and responsibility and say, you know what, I'm dissatisfied and I need to do something different about it, you know, because right. I'm unhappy or I'm, you know. And so, you know, it's interesting that you were at that pivotal point in your life. You know, I was at a pivotal point in my career. And so it just seems like pain seems to be one of the catalysts for,
yeah,
you know, really making the change necessary to take control of your life and change your circumstances.
Oh, I think that's completely right. I mean, you've got to be disgusted with the current situation enough to change. And if you're not disgusted enough with it, then you won't make the change. That's that. At the end of the day, that's what's got to happen. And I think, like in my case, you know, it's easy to make a couple hundred grand a year and think, well, I'm doing better than maybe most or some. But only when I got to be 50 and felt the scarcity of time did I put that in perspective that's just not enough. I'm just capable of more, and by God, I'm going to get it. And so, but I think you're exactly right. And, you know, the other thing I think that goes on today is that we live in this culture that is so shallow thinking, and we're just gliding through life and not really thinking about life. And that's where largely I think this idea that somebody or something is going to save me, and so I'm not going to worry about it, it's all just going to work out. But today it's on steroids, this attitude, because of the flip-through nature of social media, that people are not thinking deeply about their life and not going, oh, it's on me to fix this thing. It's not on anybody else, right? Do you buy that?
Yep, I do buy that. I think there's absolutely that component. And then something else that popped into my head as you were speaking is, I think that there's another element, especially with today's, you know, couple of generations behind us. You know, I don't know what they're called anymore, millennials.
Right.
I don't know.
Right.
But that what social media has also done is it is bringing the input, and we talk about this all the time, the input you take in, mm-hmm. you know, like it all relates to one another. The energy you take in is the energy you put out. And I think we've got, especially right now in these really challenging and uncertain times from a political standpoint, you know, that people are also feeling like, well, it doesn't matter anyway, this place is going to hell in a handbasket. Like there's right. a lot, because they're taking in so many negative things that there is a learned helplessness almost, that they're like, right. why bother? You know, everything is burning, you know, so. And I think we're seeing some of that happening too with people, like, you know, I don't know whether it's not that nobody's coming to save you, but that it's like, literally, nobody's coming to save me. Like there's a,
right.
No, I think there's an interesting thing happening right now in the time we're in with certain generations. And because of all the input in social media that they're taking in, it feels like, you know, the world's on fire and there's a lot of difficult stuff going on. But you know, again, it's the same thing. It's like, okay, how am I going to frame this and work within this framework, even though all of these external things are going on? But I think that's some of what you're seeing too with people just kind of like not engaging in life, is there's fear and there's uncertainty. And so they're just paralyzed and not doing anything.
Well, and you know, the reality, there are amazingly beautiful things that are going on today.
Yep.
I mean, unbelievable, beautiful, wonderful things that are going on in this world. But social media is, again, we're wired for survival. So it wants to show you the negative things. And so that's what people focus on. And I think the key thing for people to understand, and you don't hear this in social media, is that you are the problem. Mm-hmm. And you are also the solution.
Yep.
One thing I've been thinking about, I don't know, because I'm off for the summer, I have more time to think, which obviously can be dangerous, but I was thinking about my life, and this also applies to you, I think. So I grew up, my dad worked for the government, and we grew up very middle class. And I had a good relationship with my parents, basically, not great and not bad. Good relationship. They loved me. They gave me all the advantages, but they didn't teach me how to be successful. they were trying to figure it out like everybody. And I think back on you, your family wasn't wildly successful to where they say, here's the formula. Although I got to say, your dad, who I have immense respect for, gave you Think and Grow Rich when you were 10, right?
Yeah.
I mean, how good was that? I got nowhere even close to anything like that. But I see that as I got a little older and I went out on my own, I'm like, okay, I'm going to figure out this success thing. And of course, that starts with understanding what you deem to be success. And I think I thought having enough money so I didn't have to work was success, and finding the woman of my dreams. And so off I go. And now I look at it like, wow, I was blessed to figure it out, to figure out a formula for creating success. And I'm honored that people take this formula that I created and apply it to their life. But I just look back and I see that everything that is in my life today, I created. And there's virtually nothing bad in my life. So I created all of this, and I am super proud of it, but I'm also super humbled by it because I see the struggle that I went through. And I'm like, people, whoa, you're making this thing so friggin' hard. Come on, just open your mind to what I would like to share with you. And some people get it instantly, and that's so gratifying. And some people will never get it. But you know what I'm saying?
Oh, totally. Yeah, 100%. It's like when I first heard it, when you were a guest on my podcast all those years ago, like immediately I was like, oh, you know, this is something different. This is something that is very different from what I've learned before. So like, you're either somebody who, you know, clicks into that right away, you know, or, you know, and I would say too that I've got a measured amount of skepticism with anything, new or anything along those lines. But as soon as I understood the science, I was like, it's science. And this is pretty, you know what I mean? It's like, oh, I never applied science to, you know, to improving my circumstances, to learning something new, to changing habits, to anything along those lines. It was so new. And so, I think you either are somebody who like locks into it. Again, we've talked about this before too, in terms of just like being at a point in your life where you're ready to hear.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where you're ready to receive.
Right. Right. I tell you something that I've been doing that's interesting on podcasts, and I'm now pushing the envelope a little. So I'll go on the podcast and I'll spend 30 minutes, you know, setting the foundation and explaining how the methodology works. But about the middle of the podcast, or maybe two thirds in, I'll go, so the most significant thing I ever learned in my life was that 95% of my daily thoughts and actions are unconscious. And I'll say to them, I want your audience to have the same epiphany that I've had. And so then I will go to the host, do you believe that? And what happens is the host will either go, wow, I didn't know that. Or they will go, oh yeah, yeah, I know that. And if they say that, then I go, well, what are you doing about it? And they're not doing anything about it. I'm like, do you not connect the dots that were so obvious to me that if your daily actions determine your success and 95% of them are unconscious, don't you have to gain control over those unconscious daily actions? Otherwise, you play the game at 5% of your potential. What don't you get here? And usually I will let that sort of slide. Mm-hmm. But I don't, and you know, I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I'm also understanding that they can legitimately not process the information like I do. But I'm like, you know, if we're going to spend an hour on this podcast, let's make a difference. If we have to have some conflict, let's have some conflict because I want people to get this. And one of the things I have evolved to doing is once we have that discussion, you either believe it or you don't believe it. Then I go, well, just understand you take the action unconsciously and a millisecond or two later, you become conscious of it. And you just erroneously think that you took the action consciously when in fact it was unconscious and you became aware of it a nanosecond later. And then I'll go, now let's ask ChatGPT this very question. And I'll go, Chad, is that really true that 95% of your daily actions are unconscious? And then I'll ask, well, is that really true that you take the action unconsciously and then become aware of it? And I see the power of that when you can bring in a third party to right there in the podcast to verify it. Now what's happening with the audience and maybe with the host is they're hearing it, but they're not fully processing it. They're hearing it, and this is good, but unless I sort of now press the issue by saying to the host, what are you doing about this? My bet is you're not doing a friggin' thing about it, just like I wasn't either. And once I did something about it, my life was changed. So let's get this or argue why you don't get it.
Exactly. Yeah.
I don't know. It's fun to sort of go down that road. But one final thing I'll share with you that's interesting. So Darren Hardy did this great presentation. And I don't know, did I mention this last time about his path for creating the exceptional life?
I don't think so. It's not sounding familiar.
Well, and this is pertinent for everybody, but he was saying that when he was the publisher of Success Magazine, he was probably 40 years old, he interviews Maria Shriver, and he asks her, what does success mean to you? And she gives him an answer that sort of blows him away and makes him think about what he determines as success. And so he realized that he had this gnawing feeling in his life. Keep in mind, at this point in time, he was the publisher of Success Magazine. He had this gnawing feeling that he should be doing something different. Didn't know what it was, but that there was something else out there. But when he really dug into it, he saw that 90% of what he was doing was what he was destined to do. But that other 10% was clouding his judgment about that he was on the right path. And he talks about how most people design their life around their career and try and fit a life around their career, when in fact, people should design the life they want and then build the career around the life, and also be clear about what's it going to cost to have the lifestyle you want? Because you may not be willing to pay the price for that lifestyle. And a very interesting approach to it. And so he had to sort of revamp his life at probably 47, 48 years old. And I think that's a lesson to everybody is it's, and this fits with Mel Robbins' statement that no one is going to save you. It's on you to figure out your life. And I think the beauty of our methodology is through using this template, it guides you step by step how to figure out your life. And then once you figure it out, then you just feed it to yourself every day. And that then influences the creation of your thoughts, which influences the creation of the right actions. Then the right actions actually creates a life you want. It's profoundly simple, I think.
It is. And that's the, you know, again, we've talked about one of your superpowers being, you know, making something that seems complex. And
there are so many superpowers. It's hard to really nail.
Exactly. This is your top one. This is one of your top ones.
I can't even get into some of them.
But it is that simple. You're describing it and it is that simple. And it's just like, please,
right.
Take control of your life. you know, and your circumstances, and because nobody is coming to save you. That's a fact.
Right, right. Well, think about that when you put your head on the pillow. Nobody is going to come save you. You have to save yourself, and we're giving you the way to do it. So until next time, we'll see you.
Thank you for listening to the Missing Secret Podcast. If you'd like to learn more about this 12-minute a day technique that gives you control over your life beyond what you've ever experienced before, visit themissingsecret.org. That's themissingsecret.org. Sign up for our free video that reveals the full secret of Think and Grow Rich and purchase John's book, The Missing Secret. Until next time, be the exception. Work smarter, not harder, by leveraging yourself through science. It takes 12 minutes a day.